It's everything Queensland footy.
Good bold football from the Brisbane Lions.
That's a big one for the Suns.
This is Triple M Footy's Northern Exposure.
Welcome to Northern Exposure. We've had COVID hit not just the Lions and the Suns, but also the Northern Exposure team. Jack and Nick have gone down this week. So it's a Brett Thomas and Will Ralston with you to talk through this Q clash coming up this weekend. A lot at stake for both sides. Obviously, the Suns coming off a disappointing loss, putting their finals hopes in jeopardy, and the Lions back into winning form, hunting for a top four spot. Will, I was thinking this could be one of the most highly anticipated Q clashes in a long time, but Gold Coast put in a bit of a stinker over the weekend.
Yeah, you're right, Brett. We were actually talking about that. That's how we closed the episode last week, saying that we were going to do a podcast about the most anticipated Q clash of all time, but unfortunately I think it's lost quite a bit of its shine. Not just the fact that the Suns lost, but the way they lost. It looked very convincing and it looked like a side that isn't going to play finals. And I think the maths might just get a bit difficult for them from here, unless they manage to pull off some sort of miracle, knocking off teams like Brisbane and the Gold Coast. But yeah, good for Brisbane, though. They managed to get their season back on track, it looks.
The beast mode, Reece Matheson was back. I guess the question is, why did it take so long? And Chris Fagan admitted as much after the game that perhaps he should have been brought in a bit earlier.
It's strange, isn't it? I feel like, as a Brisbane Lions supporter, and if you look on social media, which is hardly some sort of a hotbed of great Brisbane Lions opinions, but they have been screaming out for beast mode to return. Just based on VFL form, you just need to look at his numbers. He's been putting up 40-plus disposals regularly, killing it in clearances, kicking goals. And he was unlucky not to kick a couple of goals on the weekend. He was a bit wayward in front of the sticks. But other than that, I thought he had a very good performance. 10 clearances, the most for the side. And he just looked like a big-bodied, mature midfielder that we have struggled with over the last few weeks, to the point where I feel like if he'd played against Essendon, we probably would have won it, which is quite frustrating in hindsight, but he definitely earned his spot, I thought.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it's his defensive running as a midfielder was the reason why he wasn't in the side. But you're right, given their issues with, you know, centre bounce and conceding scores, you wonder why they didn't mix things up a little bit, just for that integrity of selection that guys in the VFL know that if they play well, they're a shot of making the senior side.
Exactly, yeah. It's about rewarding form, because if you're getting 40-plus regularly and you're not getting picked, then God, it would do harm to your confidence and you would start to look elsewhere. And I hope that he's not doing that, because he's proven himself to be a very capable VFL player. So hopefully we can see him string some form together. And as you said, the defensive running, I've always heard that was the knock on him. But he had the most tackles in the team on the weekend with 6. So I don't know. I think he'll definitely get a game this weekend, and I hope that we see him for the rest of the season and hopefully in a finals campaign, because I think he's good enough. And he's at an age now where I think he can be important to the side.
Should we be concerned about the form of Joe Danaher?
I don't think so just yet. He's still returning, and I think he's always been an inconsistent shot at goal when it comes to a set shot. No, it didn't register a score on the weekend. I'm happy to give him a mulligan. I think he's proven himself to be important enough over the journey. And it was nice to see Hipwood and McStakey a couple themselves. So I think as long as two of them fire, then you can't get too down on the other one, if you know what I mean, because they're all playing in a system where they're complementing each other. But how about Hugh McCluggage? All of a sudden, his radar just suddenly clicked in.
I mean, look, there's probably no reason. It has to be mostly above the shoulders as to why he's such a poor kick in front of goal. But bag of 4, 29 disposals. And when he's on, he is a devastating player, you know, with his line-breaking and evasive abilities and so explosive. He had that purple patch last year when Lachie Neale was out of the side. He was just so dynamic on the ball. And, you know, you'd love to get him more time on the ball, because he can just be so damaging.
Yeah, equal career high, 4 goals, and as you said, 29 touches, 17 of them kicks. If Hugh McCluggage is kicking the ball 17 times, then the opposition has headaches. He is so good, and I think it was just about a career-best game for him. The other person that I thought might have put their hand up for best on ground, Kitty Coleman. I am so big on this kid now, to the point where I think he's just about in our top 5 most important players in my book. He is so devastating off that back flank. And He's another one that if we had him against Essendon, I think it might have just been the difference.
Yeah, that seemed to be the issue. I mean, obviously their issues in the centre bounce conceding scores was highlighted against the Bombers by not having their experienced heads back there, and it was just, you know, leaking scores in that game. They almost ran over them in the end, but went on to lose against the Gold Coast Suns this weekend. Let's talk about the Suns' form. And you know, was there always going to be a letdown after what happened against the Tigers, do you think? Is that, you know, an excuse or a reason as to what we saw on the weekend?
Yeah, it's probably a sign of an immature side if you have the greatest win in club history and then deliver that on the weekend, which was just about their worst performance of the season, or one of. They didn't fire a shot, and the scoreboard really flattered them in the end. 14-19, the Bombers kicked, and a lot of them were gettable. And, yeah, they never looked in it. It was really quite disappointing. Other than Tuukka Miller, who puts his hand up every single week, even with a heavy tag from Jai Caldwell, I don't think anyone would be really happy with their performance. So just a disappointing let-off. And with the season on the line, too, against the side that, you know, is in good form and they've got enough stars on their list to put up a performance like that. But I think the Suns would be very disappointed.
The Q Clash has really been a rivalry by geography only because it's just been so one-sided. The Suns haven't won a Q Clash since 2018 round five when Jared Lyons was still playing for the Gold Coast. Can you see them being more competitive this weekend?
I think given it's at the Gabba, it will be an uphill battle. I think it was always going to be. And the only time they've really pushed Brisbane from memory, just memory alone, is when it has been at Carrara. But as you said, what is that, 7 in a row, 9 of the last 10. I think Brisbane just have their measure in every part of the field. So I think it should be an easy one for the Lions on the weekend, which, as I said, it disappoints me because I think if they had their tails up, if they'd knocked off Essendon down here, if they looked like they were on the cusp of making the 8, it would have been a more interesting fixture. But for the Suns' sake, I hope that they make a good account of themselves. But from the Lions' perspective, percentage is so important. And I think they have a chance to bully a team that they've bullied in the past. So if it looks like it's going to end up 40-plus, I think Brisbane will want to put the foot down and really make that 10 goals or more if they can.
One of their strengths has become their forward line, especially with their small forwards, Rankin, Holman. You know, they have a good mix in there, the hard running of Ben Ainsworth. Is that an area that they could trouble the Lions, do you feel?
Yeah, I think so. Their smalls were really disappointing against Essendon. There was a point, I think, in the third quarter where only Chol, Casbolt and Day had kicked all of the goals in the side. So those names that you just mentioned were well down. But Ainsworth's in career best form, where he was against Richmond. We saw the purple patch from Rankin. There's definitely an area there to trouble the Lions, especially with Rich, who'll still be out. And there's inexperiences, patches of inexperience around the field on the Lions and in the back line. So there's a window there, and that's where they're going to have to win it, because I don't think the Talls are going to get it done themselves.
Well, for our sake, Saturday night at the Gabba should be a decent crowd. I hope the Suns put on a show and can actually take it up to the Lions. If they don't win, at least make it competitive. And as you said, I mean, each week their season's on the line, and this is no exception against Brisbane this Saturday night. We can't wait. Will, appreciate your time on the podcast, and let's hope that Jack and Nick are back next week.
Yeah, fingers crossed those boys can recover. I imagine they're listening, and hopefully that's the end of COVID that we see in southeast Queensland this weekend, both from a personal and a footy perspective. Stay safe yourself, Brett.
Yep, you too. Well, we are the Reece Matheson of this podcast, happy to come off the bench and fill in where needed.
Exactly, and just tear it to pieces, a couple of barometers.
You've been listening to Triple M's Northern Exposure.